The president issues a dark ultimatum as his deadline for opening the Hormuz Strait draws near. A Fargo city commissioner issues a surprise on the final day of filing for the Fargo mayor's race. And used car dealers are issuing a heads up. Going to cost a little bit more to buy a pre-owned set of wheels for a little bit. Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Every day is a new adventure. No question about that. It's not hard to roll out of bed in the morning. Most of the times. When I actually get up and start moving around, it's not hard to get excited about the day. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Because you just never know what's going to happen. And you just never know what President Trump is going to post on social media. And that's exactly what happened this morning. And the president has had some pretty stern words, some pretty stark warnings, some pretty heavy do this or else's. And then there was today. Holy smokes. And, of course, the liberals are in a tizzy. And the rest of the world says, whoa, what's going to happen here? And so this is going to be a very interesting next, 10 hours or so until we get 7 o'clock tonight. We're going to dive into that here, of course, on the program today. The war in Iran is always foremost on our mind. And, gosh, I don't know how many times since late Saturday night I've said, thank you, Jesus, that we got that airman back. And I heard a really good kind of monologue yesterday on what that would have meant had Iran been able to parade this guy around and the leverage that would have created for them. I don't know if embarrassment would have been the right word, but it wouldn't have looked great for us on the world stage either. Might have meant a whole lot of things here at home, too, with a lack of support for the war and maybe that even increasing. So I just say again, thank you, Lord, that airman has been rescued and what they'll make a movie about someday. No doubt about that. Well, I was minding my own business yesterday about 1 o'clock or so. And then word started to shuffle through the hallways here at our building that there was going to be an announcement on Jay Thomas's show at 3 o'clock. And I knew exactly what it was because I had heard the rumors and it was true. Michelle Turnberg is going to run for mayor, joining what will now be a five-horse race for the next leader of the city of Fargo. And Michelle will join us today on the program. She'll be in at 9:20 today. It is the story of the day. So any chance we get to talk to Michelle, who has turned into a wonderful young leader in the city of Fargo, and she believes she's ready to take that next step. So we'll talk to Michelle here on today on the program. And visit with her a little bit about that. Michael Howe will be with us, North Dakota Secretary of State, at 9:50 today. Yesterday was the deadline to get yourself on a ballot in North Dakota. Some very interesting statewide conversations are happening today because of that. And there is one measure that I railed against that is going to be on the ballot here in June. It'll likely go through, and I'm going to be on the, quote, wrong side of history again. But I don't care because I think I am in the right as far as what makes a great state. So we'll talk about that, I think, when Michael joins us here as well in the program. Kelly Armstrong, oh, by the way, the governor of the state, is going to be with us today as well. Tomorrow he's going to deliver his state budget guidelines to legislative leaders. And so we're going to talk to Kelly today what's happening there. And a few other things we'll throw in along the way as well. I'm coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to fill out the paperwork and get out of that place with a beautiful new or pre-owned set of wheels and great job opportunities there in sales and service. Go to drivewithvision.com. If you'd like to call me today, love to hear from you. 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded. They can get you in fast. They have done a lot of things over there to make sure they have openings and opportunities to help you. They have counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, nurse practitioner, whatever you need for your mental, physical health, they can help you over there at valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co. All right, let's get to it here. It is time for the Morning Wire semi-automatic storylines as we give you a rapid-fire rundown of what's happening in the good old USA and beyond, and a few places a little closer to home as well. I will start by telling you that when I got up this morning, the thermometer at my home said 7. 7. Just one number, 7. And I thought, I better check and see, are we going to hit a record today? Well, no. Record low 2 back in 1936, but we were within shouting distance of that one today. Record high 80 back in 1988 in Fargo. We won't get there, sadly. Average high for the first time now in 2026, we're up to 50 degrees in Fargo. And we didn't get anywhere near that yesterday. 28 was the best we could do yesterday. All right, sunrise this morning in Fargo, 6:54, sunset 8:04. We'll gain 3 minutes and 18 seconds of daylight today. Well, as you know, oil markets, stock markets, they do not like uncertainty. They do not like ongoing wars. Therefore, we've got some carnage early on in the market today. The Dow is down 392 points, S&P 500 down 61, NASDAQ down 291. So no bueno for those of us that keep buying a little bit in our 401ks every time the paycheck rolls in. You're thinking, well, maybe we've hit the bottom and this money I'm putting in now is going to go up. Not quite, my friend. Speaking of going up, though, WTI crude oil, $116 a barrel. And now WTI is more expensive than the Brent price. So I guess, good for North Dakota? Bad news at the gas pump, maybe? So they like our sweet crude coming out of the Bakken. No question about that. Gold today down $28 an ounce. Silver down $2. Silver now is down more than 35% from its high when it was over 100. Now it's $70.83. Bitcoin, boy, that's been kind of an up and down ride here. It goes between about 66 and 70, and then just keeps bouncing. So if you're good at playing the bounces, you can make a little money on Bitcoin here. It's been trending sideways, but kind of zigging and zagging. And AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide, $4.14 today. And that's up, that would be 3 cents from yesterday. All right, what's going on in the news today? Well, the Iranian regime is calling on young people to form human chains around the country's power plants. This coming after President Trump warned in an early morning Truth Social post that, quote, a whole civilization will die in Iran tonight if the country's leaders don't make a deal to open the Strait of Hormuz by 7 o'clock. Yes, they don't mind using the little kids as human shields over there. U.S. and Israeli strikes escalated ahead of Trump's deadline. Pete Hegseth, the war secretary, said yesterday, today is going to be our biggest day of bombing yet, and tomorrow is going to be even greater. So they are ramping up ahead of the 7 o'clock deadline there. The president says he's not going to give Iran more time to make a deal, so we'll see what happens. He's said that before, and as we know, the president pivots often and will do it fairly quickly. So be a really good day, my friend, to just take a minute and pray for our country and our world. There's a lot of really good people over in Iran and other places in the Middle East as well, and just be a really good day to pray for our country. I'm going to get choked up if I keep thinking about this. So let's not. Let's talk about Fargo City Commission and mayor candidates. Well, the deadline came and went yesterday, 4 o'clock. 5 candidates now have submitted their paperwork for mayor in Fargo, including a last-minute surprise, Fargo City Commissioner Michelle Turnberg. So she joins Dave Pepcorn, Denise Kolpak, Josh Boucher, and Seiko Sirleaf. National Guardsman Jay Coulter announced last year that he was going to run but did not file a petition to appear on the ballot. 8 are running for 2 spots on the city commission. This is going to be a race, too. Aaron Hill, Anna Johnson, Chad Peterson, Derek Arneson, Jeremy Schaefer, Nikki Gullickson, Scott Brecky, and Tony Gehrig. It's approval voting, so voters can only pick 1 for mayor and 2 for commission. Aren't you glad we got rid of that crazy deal? The election is June 9th. The race for West Fargo mayor will be uncontested. Eric Jurdevig. He served as a city commissioner from 2018 to 2022, and he's back now. He is the only mayoral candidate because Mayor Bernie Dardis announced in February that he would not seek a third term. Jurdevig has been a professor at NDSU for 8 years, also founded Summit Software Group in 2015. It was sold to True IT back in 2018. 4 candidates will vie for 1 of 2 seats on the 5-person city commission: Tyler Erickson, John Severson, Patty Stebman, and David Withey. Commissioners Robin Anderson and Brad Olson are not seeking re-election. And seven will vie for five seats on the Fargo School Board. Paul Moore, Melissa Berkland, Robin Nelson, Greg Clark, Katie Christensen-Manier, Jalene Gardy, and Kariska Geske. Five current members have terms that expire this year. Berkland, Christensen-Manier, Clark, Namal Day, and Nelson, all but Day, filed for re-election. Story of the day, what would Michelle Turnberg bring to the mayor seat? If you need a new garage door or fast, reliable repairs, Entourage Garage Door has you covered. They specialize in commercial, residential, and farm shop doors, plus expert spring replacements and door repairs. Entourage Garage Door is proud to be veteran-friendly and grounded in strong Christian values. Quality work, honest service, and a team you can trust. Let them get you on the right track with Entourage. Call them at 701-793-4246 today. Story of the day was an easy one for me. Yes, we got a war going on, I guess. That's a big deal for sure. But closer to home, boy, this place started buzzing early afternoon yesterday when we heard that there was a big announcement coming up on the Jay Thomas Show. And I said, I bet I have some idea what's going on here. And sure enough, Michelle Turnberg, Fargo City Commissioner, about 2 years into her first term as City Commissioner, says, you know what? I think I'm going to take that step and run for mayor. And so you filed the paperwork, and look at you.
I did. And here we are.
Here we are. So why? You have had two very successful years. I think most people in the community would say, whether they like your politics or not, they would say this woman gets things done. So you're off to this great start, and you say, you know what? This next opportunity for me is going to be mayor. Why?
Why not? Mm. Why not keep that momentum going? I've had so many people, so much support, and people reach out. And I'm not a politician, so I had no aspirations to go into politics. But a little over 2 years ago, I had a group of concerned citizens that were looking for good conservative candidates. And just brainstorming and coming up with people who would be, you know, possibilities for the Fargo City Commission. And I was asked to run, prayed on it, thought about it, discussed it with my family. And I remember, you know, Charlie Kirk's words in one of his books, change starts with yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And I can either be one of the people. I've always voted, but you can sit on the sidelines and complain, or you can actually do something about it. Mm. So I thought, why not just do something?
You're a Minnesota girl.
I am.
Went to Concordia.
I did.
Worked in TV news, and you still came out a conservative. How in the world did that all happen?
For my dad's sake, who is a dragon, I went to Concordia. It's a long story, but I have a biology degree from Concordia. Yes, I survived the liberal arts school still being conservative. And I have many classmates who are and have been very supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
I'm kind of joking about that.
No,
there's
it's
a lot
true.
Of good conservatives, but
with
there's
the
some
higher
weird
things.
Yeah,
that is true. And then I went over to Morehead State and got a degree in mass communications and broadcast journalism. And so I've been here for over 35 years now.
Mm.
So Fargo's been my home.
So that's a big jump, a city commissioner to mayor, no doubt about that. A lot of people will say, and we had this conversation, a couple of us in the building, and someone asked me, like, is mayor even that big of a deal in Fargo? Because you're one of five votes. And I said, I think it's a bigger deal than maybe it feels like, because the mayor is setting the tone, bringing the energy,
yes.
you know, setting the initial budget, all of that stuff. So I think that while the mayor is only one of five votes, that is a more important job than people would think. How do you see it?
And you're an ambassador representing your city. So I think we need a mayor who's going to be able to have relationships with people, with all people, not just certain sides. This is, I know it's hard to believe, but it is a nonpartisan race.
Mm.
So, but I also feel like if you're not transparent and truthful to voters, they should know what your core values are and what you believe in. And obviously, I'm a conservative. That's what I believe and what I follow. But it is an important position because you do represent the city. So that needs to have good relationships with state lawmakers. There are, you know, we need to have good relationships with our congresspeople, so with our senators, with our representative. It's an important role, and I really think this election is pivotal. And people need to realize that and need to know the importance of June 9th. And that's it. It's not a primary. It doesn't get knocked back to November. June 9th is the final election where you will elect a mayor. You will elect your new city commissioners, your school board members, park board members. So it is pivotal.
Tell me more about this. Why? Why is this particular election in Fargo so important?
Well, I think, you know, we've been on the road for almost the last, well, over a decade of really changing more to liberal ways of thinking. I mean, we gave away 7,000 crack pipes in the city. We're spending too much money. The spending. We've got over $1 billion in debt. That's got to be reined in. We have to focus on core city services. We have to focus on those vital first responders, our police, our fire. Make sure that people feel safe because perception is reality.
Boy, you talked about the mayor's job, and to me, you tell me, because I don't know as much nearly as you do, certainly, but it feels to me like the mayor can give life to certain ideas or can shut things down quickly when it's foolish. We spent so much time trying to figure out if we wanted to make a statement about Hamas and Israel that it was like, I don't care what I got to the point where I don't really care what you all do. Just get on with it, for God's sake.
Well, or have some common sense. I have not had my hotline installed in my office to Benjamin Netanyahu. So what on earth is the city government going to do about international relations? It's ridiculous. We are having business meetings every 2 weeks. They are to be focused on the city of Fargo and how it affects our residents, and that is our primary focus.
Spending, to me, is the number one thing. I don't think, and by the way, you said, and I think accurately, like in the last 10 years, seems like Fargo's gone liberal. How did the city commission ever get to be conservative versus liberal? But this is kind of what has happened.
Well, I know, because people need to step up. That's part of the problem. You slowly get, you know, I think the silent majority is what most people consider conservatives. There's so many of us out there, but we don't scream and yell as loud as the other side does. But we've had more people with that left-leaning thinking and views of how to spend your tax money in office over the past decade. Mm. And I think we need to change that. We have some really, really strong conservative candidates for commission, and we could flip the voting pattern and make changes day one.
Just about 30 seconds before we hit our first break here, but you are not shy about saying I'm a conservative and I will govern with conservative principles. That can make you a lightning rod for things sometimes. You don't seem to care.
No, I don't. And, you know, the outpouring of support here with my flag family was wonderful yesterday. And then you go over to the more left-leaning sides of some media outlets, and it's pretty ugly. And there's
really
a lot of hate. If your heart is so filled with hate that all you have to do is sit behind a computer and spew lies about a candidate that you don't know.
Where was this?
Oh, I think anywhere you look on social media. I don't even like to give them too much press. But, you know, just there's no reason to be so full of hate. I don't have any hate for the other candidates.
What would a city commission look like with a conservative majority? We're going to ask Michelle that as we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Don't go away. Continuing our conversation with Fargo City Commissioner Michelle Turnberg, who would like a new title coming up here in a couple months, that of mayor of the city of Fargo. So, Michelle, how would things change? Let's say you get you in the mayor's chair and you get two other conservatives to win in city commission. What do things look like going forward? How does it change the picture?
Oh, I just think that would be so exciting. You know, we need to streamline. We need to be more efficient. We need to focus on those core city services and not niche interest groups. Those are important groups, but not to be governed by the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with the Human Rights Commission, important work, but the group we have has no jurisdiction, has no authority. It's being led by one of the highest paid city employees, so she is basically a volunteer coordinator.
Mm.
So we're spending money where it doesn't need to be spent. That's just one example. I mean, we need to streamline. We need to focus on public safety, streets, water, garbage, snow removal, and those things that make the city run and make it run efficiently and well.
I think that we said this in the last segment. I said in the last segment that spending, I think, is the thing that can unite a lot of people, other than a handful of really die-hard liberals who just don't care because just tax the rich and it'll somehow magically figure itself out. I think most people are looking at their tax bills going, my gosh, what is happening? We just got our assessment for our home. And you, I'm sure you have, you own a home too. It's like we cannot stop spending. And the reaction that I have heard so many times from Fargo City Commission, not yourself in particular, but just a shrug of the shoulders. What can we do? We can't help it. People have to get their COLA and then they have to get a raise on top of that. I'm like, in what other part of the world do you get this built-in raise where you're getting? And then it's like that. Nobody even like talks about that being a part of it. But now you get another raise on top of that. And someone just needs to be the adult in the room. And I think you and Dave have done this many times and just say, stop. Stop. Yes. At home, you cannot spend like this. Why do you think that you're entitled to spend whatever? We need that more than anything else in this city.
Yes, 100%. And I think it's just common sense. And keep in mind, I'm a Fargo resident. I got my new appraisal of my home valuation. I had to write a check for my taxes. It was sickening. It made me ill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep paying more in taxes. I want to keep more money that I make. Another thing to think about is if you're on the other side of the aisle, do you want me spending your charitable giving, or do you want, as a conservative, a liberal spending your charitable giving? Because that's what we're doing right now in the city of Fargo.
Okay, our charitable giving, what do you mean?
Because we support so many non-essential.
Okay, the nonprofit things.
Yes,
yeah. Okay.
And we have almost 2,000 nonprofits in the city of Fargo. That's just Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at Moorhead, West Fargo, Horace, Harwood, all of our metro communities. There's so many churches, nonprofits, things that are giving, things that are helping people who are in need. Not everything is a city service. We don't need to be all things to all people.
If you are elected mayor, will you end this madness of appointing a focus group or a study or a survey company to study every possible little thing and just make a decision
that
and get on with it? The
one.
Public comment thing that we went through at the city of Fargo was like, it went for 6 months before we could decide if we're going to let somebody say something for 30 seconds or 60.
Well, and the core issue from that was a few bad actors that just continued to break the rules. And it was like, how do we deal with these people? And it just went off the rails and sideways. If people would just follow the rules, stick to what the city is discussing, it would be fine. But of course, people don't. And then they, you know, break the rules and say the wrong things and attack people. And we're conducting a business meeting that needs to have decorum. So just do that.
I thought, and I would say this to anybody who's a mayor or city commissioner, none of these issues that you all spend all this time pulling your hair out about Hamas statements or how much public comment, people are not going to change their vote for you. And I know we think a lot about, well, okay, how am I going to get reelected? But these things, nobody even cares. It's like, what do my taxes look like? What does this spending look like? Do I have good streets? Are there enough cops running around town? That's the only thing people really, normal people, there's a handful of weirdos everywhere. But that's the stuff that people get elected on.
And have we failed at civics at the, you know, high school level? Know what government body governs what. So if I make a comment about schools, that means nothing. That's my opinion as a Fargo resident. I'm not on the school board. I am working for the city and doing city projects. If you have a complaint that is a state issue or a law, then you need to contact and know who your state representative is.
Mm-hmm.
Know what district you're in. Know who represents you. Know who your state senator is.
Yeah.
If you're worried about Hamas, then perhaps you need to talk to one of our senators or representative and let them know how you want them to vote when they meet. But there is a rhyme and reason to all of it. And, you know, there's parameters of what we can and cannot do.
A bunch of texts are rolling in here. And by the way, you can send one in too, 701-271-1100. We're going to have to take phone calls another time because there's just so much I need to ask Michelle, and our time is short. But thank you, friends. We'll try to get them in. One here, Steve, Michelle's a breath of fresh air. Go get them, young lady. We got your back. Do you feel that? Do you feel like you're being carried along by a wave here?
I really do. I really do. And yesterday I felt the announcement was incredible. We did that on the Jay Thomas Show, and I had my team of incredible supporters that have been working with me preparing for the announcement. They were, as we were announcing, they were rolling out to social media. They were rolling out the videos we had. The signs get delivered today. We're very organized. I think we'll do very well. Again, there's the haters out there, but don't let them. Mm. I mean, my skin is thick. That doesn't bother me. I don't like it when people make stuff up and tell lies, and then that spreads, you know. But I don't care. You know me. I know myself and know my convictions. I'm a good person.
Yeah.
So that doesn't bother
me. Well, you and I share something in common that we started in this market in the TV news world. I was in sports. You were in news. You were smart. I just like to play in the toy department. But I tell you what, as much as like some of the first times when someone said something mean about me, I was like,
But
you need that because whatever you do in life, there's going to be people that'll be critics. And while you have to listen to the truth of what they're saying, because maybe there's something you can learn from there, you just cannot take these things personally.
No. Absolutely. Back then, and you and I have known each other for probably, goodness, 30 years. I mean, it was in the 90s we were working.
Back when we were
TV.
Teenagers, right?
I know. Yeah. Baby faces. Mm-hmm. But those calls and complaints were more about my hair and makeup.
Yeah, right.
It was very, very trivial and vain things that were, and whatever. Yes, everybody has a bad day. Hair day. I still do.
So I have always wondered this, and I don't know. Because things are hyper-politicized here in Fargo like they are everywhere. But when someone asks me, Steve, what is Fargo? Like, is it 60-40 conservative? Is it 70-30 conservative? I'm like, I don't know. It feels like it's about half and half to me, liberal versus conservative in the city of Fargo. I'm not talking about downtown Fargo because that's its own thing. But within city limits, are we half and half here? What do you think?
I can't factually answer that. I think we still are the silent majority, but I just really encourage people who are conservatives who care and want to see change and want to keep us, with those conservative values to make sure you can go to my Facebook page and we will post lots of information how you can help our campaign, help other conservatives. And get out and vote. It's just really imperative that people do that June 9th.
Yeah, we when the president is on the ballot, everybody goes out. Yep. Everything else is just, it seems like it's harder to catch people's attention. All right, here's another one of my please promise me if stories here. Please promise me that if you're a mayor, we will not have Trans Day of Visibility on Good Friday. Can you promise me that?
That was a thing.
Oh, tell me you didn't.
I was at church. I don't
know.
What?
Last year. It wasn't this year. Last year.
Oh.
The mayor makes a proclamation that it was on Good Friday. That because it's the week, right? They have this week leading up the trans advocates. They are going to push this week down our throats. So on Easter week, it's going to be the National, International, World Day of Trans Visibility. And the mayor, I hate to say I'll never forgive him for that because that sounds really strong, but I'll never forget that.
Holy Week.
No, not Holy Week. Good Friday. Good Friday City of Fargo.
No, that is
Day of Trans Visibility.
This is what I'm talking about. That's a niche. That is a special interest group. That is not a core city service. That will not happen under my leadership.
And I don't want to be hateful toward anyone. We're all God's children. We all have our things, whatever. Some people have bigger struggles than others. I get all of that. But if we have the rainbow flags in downtown Fargo for whatever day of LGBT, whatever, can we also have white flags in Holy Week downtown Fargo? Like, could we also say, okay, if that happens, then this group gets that? Or is it time to just say, look, let's just put up flags that say God bless the USA or Go Fargo, Go? Or how do we handle these things?
I would not be spending money on Pride. And let me say this for people who will say, oh, she's a racist. She's anti this, anti that. My closest circle of I don't want to say workers, supporters, my campaign team is led by a black man and a gay man. So I have love for everyone. I just don't think the city needs to concern itself with niche groups, and we don't need to concern ourselves with international politics.
Yeah. I got just only about a minute left here, and then we'll have to have you back another time. But what do you want to say to the people?
Well, thank you so much for your support. Of course, I love coming here because it's a welcoming group, and we get a lot of love because we're like-minded people. But it is so important for you to get out and vote, for you to grab your neighbors, grab a carload, and go vote June 9th. It is vital that we save the city and keep our conservative values.
Who's going to be the toughest person to beat in this field, do you think?
You know, I don't feel that. I truly don't. It'll be extremely interesting how things roll out. I think we have the first debate coming up. I feel really confident. So I think we just are going to focus on doing our best to get the word out to people. I have nothing. I'm not going to bash anyone because that's just not who I am. And I have faith that we'll do very well come the election.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, and we'll talk again, but appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Steve.
Michelle Turnberg, City Commissioner of Fargo, trying to take that one next step up to be the mayor of the city. Well, the deadline was yesterday to get on the ballot in North Dakota, as we've been talking about, and some very interesting statewide conversations are ensuing today because of it, including that measure about school lunch for everybody. Talk about that coming up next with Michael Howe, North Dakota Secretary of State, on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, well, we know a lot more right now than we knew yesterday at this time about what we are going to be voting on here in the June primary. I say June primary, that's what they call it, but it is the general election for all these races we're talking about, school board and city council, city commission, and mayors and all that. But there's a lot of stuff going on the statewide side of things as well. And we're pleased to have on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line Michael Howe, North Dakota Secretary of State, kind enough to join us here on this day. So, Michael, is this the calm after the storm in your office today?
Steve, good morning. A little bit calming, yes, but the work is just getting started.
Yep.
We are just finalizing some of the last paperwork that came in late yesterday afternoon. Then we'll have to certify that, push that information out to the counties, as each county, of course, runs the election. And then it's all full steam ahead till June 9th. And then we'll have a little reprieve and then fire it back up again for November 3rd. So always interesting and fun in the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah, I bet it is. Give us an overview. If you live in North Dakota, what are you going to see on your ballot when you come in on the state side? We know that there's city elections and school boards and things like that. But from the state perspective, what will we be voting on when we step into the booth on June 9th?
Yeah, so you'll have a couple contested primary races on the Republican side of your ballot. There are no statewide contested Democrat primary races, but I can tell you both the Republicans and Democrats have filled slots for every statewide race, which my friends on the other side of the aisle hasn't always been the case.
Right.
So there will be a full slate of Republicans and Democrats for every statewide race, which is on the ballot. And of course, that first race you will see is our sole seat in Congress held by Julie Fedorchak. And she'll be facing off versus Alex Balazs on the Republican side. And then Trigvi Hammer is the Democrat who is not opposed in a Democrat primary.
Makes sense. How about measures? Will we see any of the measures coming up in June?
There's one statewide ballot question. It's measure number one. And this is was passed by the state legislature, which limits the Constitution to a single subject. So this is for constitutional measures, not initiative measures, which just changes state law. This seeks to change the Constitution, so only constitutional measures can have one topic. So, for example, this seeks to stop ballot questions that have something about property taxes and then also something dealing with military voting. Those are two separate topics. So if you wanted to go that route, you'd have to have two separate ballot questions, one related to property taxes, one related to military voting.
Makes sense. Why did I think we were going to see the school lunch thing on the ballot in June?
So that's, again, talking about things that are always interesting in the Secretary of State's office. Thursday afternoon, we are expecting the school lunch advocates to drop off their petitions to our office to be certified. We will go through, have heard reports they may have upwards of 50,000 signatures they're submitting to us. They only need 31,164. But that will be Thursday afternoon in this office. And then we will have 35 days to go through all that. And then that would be on the November ballot if they have enough valid signatures.
I see. Okay, so that's not for the for the primary window. Makes sense.
Correct.
Okay, got you. You had mentioned about the Democrats that they will now have a candidate for all of the offices. I've seen some things that indicate that Democrats are trying to get a little more organized and trying to put up a better front, if you will, and just kind of make it apparent that, hey, we're trying to get our ducks in a row here. From your perspective, obviously someone who is a Republican yourself and has run as one, an impartial observation question for you. Does it look to you like Democrats are getting their act together a little bit better in North Dakota than they have in the past?
Well, I mean, getting their act together, certainly. I mean, they're putting people forward to run for these spots again, which is a change. I looked at the legislative races, you know, the candidate paperwork we've had. You know, the southwest part of the state, very, very bright red part of North Dakota, there's three or four legislative candidates. I can't remember the last time the Democrat Party had candidates in that part of the state running for the state legislature. Now, I think they've got some headwinds they'll be running into, but organized, sure. I don't know if their message is catching on yet to the North Dakota public, but we shall see. I think I've heard, you know, some of my Democrat friends saying they want to give their voting base an option, which kudos to them. I will be supporting my Republican friends, and I think they'll be successful. But the Democrats are doing what they need to do to be in the conversation. They hadn't been in the conversation for some time.
Yeah, we typically see a lot less turnout for these primary windows. What is typically the average turnout that we have for this June window?
It's atrocious, Steve. If I'm just being completely honest, I heard you talking to Michelle Turnberg, and she's right. You got to get out and participate. The most important election is the next election, and the next election is the June 9th primary. And typically we see 18%, 20% statewide turnout for these primary elections. Said another way, Steve, that means 80% of North Dakota is staying home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to fix that. No doubt. And like Michelle and I were talking, if you're a conservative in Fargo, you sure do. Michael, appreciate your time today. Thanks for giving us some perspective on this busy day. Appreciate you and all that you do for our state.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Take care. All right, when we come back on the other side, the key three, the three big stories of the day. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show, brought to you in part by Matt Eaton, Dr. Matt at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Dr. Eaton is known for advanced training and passion for restoring smiles. It's care you can trust from the very first visit. Every step is clearly explained, and every decision is based on what's right for you. They've got flexible financing options available, which can come in handy sometimes. And they've got a thoughtful, patient-focused approach. It's all about you at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Go to DakotaImplant.com, DakotaImplant.com, and smile like you mean it. Coming up in this hour of the program, we've got the key three, the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We've also got Best Thing I Heard All Day, which is actually Best Thing I Heard All Day yesterday. And because the conversation we had yesterday about the F word overtook the show, I guess you could say, yesterday. And so we weren't able to get to this yesterday. I kind of pushed it back. I said, we can do without this for one day. And then before the show finishes up, Kelly Armstrong will be here with us as well to talk about a number of things, including his day tomorrow, a big day tomorrow for the governor, because he is going to release his budget guidelines for the upcoming biennium. So we'll talk to him about that, what that means today. And I'll probably ask him, too, has he ever endorsed local candidates? You know, we talk about this race. We've got Dave Pepcorn, Michelle Turnberg, and, you know, several others in this Fargo mayor's race. And curious if the governor ever gets involved in the business of endorsing candidates. I have a guess on this, but we'll let him answer that one coming up here in just a little bit. One final comment on this one that you know, we had yesterday, the long conversation really took up the whole second hour of the program, talking about the president's use of the mother of all profanities on Easter Sunday. And I can put up with a lot. I don't love it when my president uses profanity, but I guess those are things that you just say, you know what, what's it really mean? How much does it hurt? I don't know. You can like certain things and want them to be done a certain way, but how important is it really? And for me, the hard thing was it was one of the first things I saw on Easter Sunday. And that was the hardest piece, I think, for me to see. And then I got actually a little bit later from a North Dakota elected official who said to me, it was in more of a private message than anything, I guess, but it was like, sometimes you got to get people's attention and sometimes you got to talk a little smack to do it. And I said, okay, but could we punch people in the face and talk our smack on a different day besides Easter Sunday? I don't know. To me, it's just a sense of timing. It's like Mahoney and the trans thing last year, the trans day of visibility on Good Friday. And, you know, a lot of times people just get into the fight and they just kind of lose track of perspective. And those are the times, and I've done that. You have probably too. You get so focus on something, you kind of like, oh, it's my wife's birthday today. Oh, gee whiz. Well, that might mean that we just need to, you know, focus on a little different list of things here, or have a little bit more awareness of other things. Everybody's going to see this issue differently. And I'll have to say that I will kind of live and let live on this issue, because it's not as important as some of the issues that we're dealing with here. But if we get to a point where it doesn't matter what day, what context, what the situation, you know, we're just going to go ahead and full speed ahead, then I think we're missing an opportunity, because you can have your cake and eat it too. You really can. So just a last word on yesterday. All right, let's get to the key three here on the Steve Alstrom Show. By the way, 271-1100, that is our phone number and our text line. So let us know if you got a thought or a comment on this. Crystal, hang on. We'll get to you here in just a moment. We want to make sure we get this in here today. Story number one is stemming from the war in Iran. President Trump this morning, early in the morning, came out with a tweet that everybody is talking about. Quote, "A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran." So the president begins by saying, all the Iranians are going to die tonight, but God bless the great people of Iran. This is the president. This is his communication style. And I don't have any issue with the posing, the saber rattling, the chest puffing out, whatever, in the theater of war. I don't believe that President Trump intends on bombing schools and daycare centers and hospitals. He's trying to make a point. He's trying to get people's attention. You wish he could do it diplomatically, but maybe there's some value in having everybody else see this too. But I will say that, as I told you yesterday, that the president's rhetoric has gone to a different place over the last couple of weeks. This is an example of that, where we're going to a different place. You can decide if it's good or bad or it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you this is a new level. And similar to what we were talking about yesterday, this is a different level of rhetoric from the president. And all's fair in love and war, and so he's got to do what he thinks is in the best interest. And so we will see what happens at 7 o'clock tonight. And they're going to, they said, increase the bombing today versus what it was yesterday versus what it was the day before. So story number one. Big day. This has been kind of a deadline. He's out there for a while and doubled down on it this morning. Story number two, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the actual story, but I want to dig into it for a minute. Michelle Turnberg is going to run for mayor. I'd heard rumblings of this probably 3 weeks ago. But I asked Michelle about it. She said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. And I said, you know what? I will check back with you, see what happens. And then I never did, and then got the notice yesterday that she was indeed going to run for mayor. So here's what matters to me. We need a conservative as mayor. There are 8 candidates for city commission. There are a handful of people that are good common sense people in that bunch, and I hope that we can get a couple of them in there. I think Dave Pepcorn or Michelle Turnberg would be very good as mayors and would be a marked step up. I will say that to me, my impression is that Michelle works with others better than Dave does. And that's just an honest gut feel when I listen to how other people talk about Michelle and how much she has worked at trying to get different perspectives and get around town. I think she's worked really hard at that. And can a mayor be a good mayor without working well with others? Maybe. I think either one of them, though, would be a very good step in the right direction. So we will see what happens on this. I do think either of them would do a good job. I think if we get any of the others, I think Josh Boshe, Denise Kolpak, I know them both. I think they are good people. I do. But their value set is very different than mine. And therefore, I don't believe that they would make as good of leaders for this city. And then Syracuse, Sirleaf, I just don't know enough. I don't think he's a factor. My concern is that Turnberg and Pepcorn split the vote on, I guess, the conservative side. And the liberals have their own battle to face on this, too, because you're going to see the same with Denise and Josh as well. So this is going to be really interesting. And whoever, like if either Pepcorn or one of the two liberals stepped out, I think that the other person left in on that side would be the favorite. We'll see what happens. But I don't think that's going to happen, not from what I can tell. And finally, a judge dismissed all the charges against the anti-ICE agitator who disrupted church on Sunday, Easter Sunday, at City's church. Emily Phillips was booked into jail after disturbing the peace, but a judge, a Tim Walz appointee, Maria Mitchell, dismissed all charges against Phillips, citing no probable cause, even though the cops were there and they arrested her for disturbing the church service. With the blowhorn and the whistles and with the sirens and whatever she had. She is the same woman who put herself on social media going through the Minneapolis airport, screaming at the TSA agents, calling them effing this and effing that and race traitors and everything else like that. So the cops see probable cause. The activist judge said, there's no reason to keep her in jail here. So this is what you get in Minnesota. When we come back, best thing I heard yesterday. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team, and that could mean the job of a lifetime for you. You can make really good money just by helping friends, neighbors, people you know find the car, truck, or SUV that they've been looking for. And if you like to turn wrenches, well, the service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more money than anywhere else in the 5-state area. No kidding. No weekends, full benefits to boot. Vision Ford Lincoln, not just a place to buy a great set of wheels, it's the place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. Tell a friend if you know somebody who's looking for a new job. That might be the place to go. All right, time to head back to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Crystal is on the line. Wants to talk about North Dakota politics. Hi, Crystal.
Yeah, hi there. I'm looking at the front page of the Dickey County Leader. It's from Ellendale, North Dakota. And a woman by the name of Valerie Wagner from Monango is the president of the North Dakota Farmers Bureau.
Yes.
She was in Washington, D.C. at the time that we had our state convention, and so was Julie Fedorchuk and Senator Hovind because it was an ag celebration.
Right.
And I wish that the delegates could have known more about this because our two, Julie and John Hovind, they're doing their jobs that day. And they were meeting with agriculture people, farmers and ranchers from across the U.S. and really celebrating the history and the need, the essential purpose of our American farmers. And the whole ag industry, and really looking at the golden age of farming, because when you take a look at it, of our founding, a lot of our members, our founding members, were farmers. And some did not have slaves, even. They were their own, they worked their land themselves.
Right.
And, you know, so the history of our farmers, as well as in North Dakota. And so for Valerie to have met with Ag Secretary Brooks Rollins and all the things that she came back to North Dakota with, I would love to have her be either on your program or Scott's program. Again, her name is Valerie Wagner.
We know Val. We had her on. Yep, we had her on when she got the job. So, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm probably due to have Val back on, too. And I need to remember, too, who the Farmers Union guy is, too, because both serve ag across our state. So, yeah, good idea. We'll do that and try to bring some of those stories back to you. Thank you, Crystal, for giving a call. Appreciate you giving us a good idea. I will make a note of that. Yeah, rancher herself. So she's definitely part of the scene there. All right, it is time for the best thing I heard all day. As I mentioned to you, I had this queued up and ready to go yesterday. We got into a great conversation. I did not want to cut that off. So I was, where did I see this? I think I saw it maybe on X, and it was a post about Gen Z. So we've heard a lot over the last probably few weeks leading up to Easter about how our young people, our teens and our 20-somethings, are going to church more than they ever have before. Now, I've heard more publicity on it coming from the Catholic Church. Not that the Catholic Church is putting it out, but people who are observing it, maybe who are loyal to the Catholic faith, who are Catholics themselves, are the ones that are saying, hey, we're seeing this in our church. Maybe, you know, the Baptist and the Lutheran churches aren't just talking about it as much. I don't know. But there does seem to be a definite movement. And I heard Nick Hall on Sunday on Fox News Channel talk about how young people are just looking for something real. They're looking for authentic human connection, and they're looking for meaning in places maybe where their parents or older brothers and sisters maybe weren't looking. And so I saw this clip from Lara Trump, and she has a show on Fox News Channel that she does each week. And we all know from all of these reports, and pastors are talking about this, that Gen Z is moving into some different directions. They're going to church, we know that, but Lara Trump is also saying, hey, there's another part to this story that you might not know about, and millennial women and young women are thinking it's okay once again to raise families.
For so long, there was this feminist movement that tried to push and tell us that we should all just kind of put aside wanting to start a family. Don't worry about getting married. Don't worry about having kids. You should solely focus on your career. And I know so many women, and you probably do too, Rachel, who mm-hmm. got to a certain age and realized, wait a minute, this is something I actually want. And in many cases, they either had a huge struggle to have children, or they couldn't do it at all, and they were left absolutely devastated. But you're right. This isn't about locking women up in the home and saying, like, you can't go out and pursue things independently. This is about women continuing to work and having independent pursuits of their own. But it is about a focus on returning to family. And those of us with families of our own know, Rachel, it doesn't matter what I do the rest of my life. The most powerful title I will ever have is the title of mom.
His title of mom. Yeah, she's talking about Rachel Campos Duffy there on her program. And this is interesting to me because this is part of, I think, something of a snowball effect that we're seeing here. And I've even seen some conversation here in certain places that young people and men in particular are dressing up a little bit more than they were, you know, 10 years ago. And that's been kind of a thing, too. The society has gotten less formal over time. And we talked about that with language yesterday, the words people use, that some of those old sort of proper things like dressing up and not drinking, going to church, we're seeing a return to some of those things. The people in the alcohol business say less people are drinking, and they're not all just turning to drugs. They're just not drinking, and they are going to church. They're taking care of how they dress. Guys are wearing ties a little bit more. Not a ton yet, but you're starting to see some of that. And here is Lara Trump and Rachel Campos Duffy talking about how being a mom is a kind of getting back in fashion with the younger people. We know that society swings, right? You kind of go one way and then go the other. And there's some shifting that you never really quite get away from. And certainly when it comes to things like technology, you're not going to change there. But just who we are and how we act, how we treat each other, it feels like maybe we've been in a little bit of a rut with being by ourselves and slumming it a little bit more. And you order the DoorDash so you don't have to go out and interact with people. And you're on the video games and maybe no surprise, you're anxious and you're depressed and you're not working out and not exercising. It feels to me like, I don't want to overdo this. I'm not saying, you know, billions of people now are going to the gym and working out and dressing nicer and going to church and having babies. But there is, I believe, something happening in our society. How about you? Am I the only one? Or it just feels like there's enough here. Like when you hear one data point or two, you're like, okay. But man, it really seems like there is a different focus here. And society is shifting back toward so many of the things that we consider traditional. And boy, has it been an effort on the left to just destroy tradition. Like the things that have made our country so great. But the human spirit, the American spirit, the spirit of freedom, the spirit of God seems to still be alive and well, saying, community is good, and having formality is good, and going to church is good, and having a family, all these things that the liberals told you, get away from that stuff because it's just going to imprison you, or, it's okay if you just kind of slum it and sit by yourself all the time, and let's, separate ourselves out when there's a virus running around. All those things seem to have worked together for a long time, and it seems like we're moving a different way. When we come back on the Steve Holcim Show, Kelly Armstrong will join us, governor of the state of North Dakota. He's going to give his budgetary guidelines to legislative leaders tomorrow. We'll get a preview of that coming up next. Big day tomorrow in state offices of North Dakota. Governor Armstrong will present his executive budget guidelines to state leaders for the upcoming biennium. And conveniently for us, it is our day to have the governor on the program here today, and so we welcome the governor of the great state of North Dakota to the program and to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good. It probably would have been more convenient the day after I announce it, but
yeah, maybe.
We can talk in broad strokes if you want.
Well, I was going to say maybe you just kind of give us all the key takeaways right now, and then we can have a little fun with it. What can you tell us about what you got planned for tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I think the key takeaways are North Dakota's budget is in a better position than it was 2 months ago because, oil prices drive just a significant portion of our budget that doesn't necessarily equate to general fund spending and ongoing revenue and ongoing expenses. The fundamentals of what I've been telling people are the same. I want to go 2 years without any major construction projects. And I want to go 2 years without hiring any new state employees. I think we can do these things that we have delivered to the state. Costs continue to go up. I mean, healthcare costs, and a lot of that's outside of agency control. So we got to factor all of those things in. But I think that we have to curb the growth of government. And I think that we have to still deliver the services that North Dakotans have come to expect without massive 10% year-over-year growth in every agency. So we'd like to hold the line for a couple of years and prove to people that we can do that.
Well, I like to hear that. I'm sure a lot of other people do as well. So state employees, that to me seems like a no-brainer, but construction projects, if we do that, are we dropping the ball on any kind of infrastructure needs like this west to east natural gas pipeline or anything else like that?
No. I'm talking buildings. There's ones that are already in the pipe that we've done architecture work for. But, I mean, I would like to take care of the things we have. One of my frustrations when I was in D.C. is we always fund new things and we don't do deferred maintenance on things we already have. I think there are plenty of things in North Dakota that get pushed to the back burner because the nature of politics is everybody likes the shiny new thing. And I think we can, whether it's on our university systems or, in different places. None of this is hard and fast. We don't live in a hard and fast. But the answer is you have to really come justify why you need it and don't just put new decision packages in. And, you can look across across the state in higher ed. We've had a really good 20-year run. And when you have that, I mean, we're farmers, we're oil guys, we're commodity-based economy. We know when things are going well, you take care of the things you need to take care of. But at the same time, we can take a year off from building a bunch of, you know, new things, and let's go fix some of the things that need some TLC and do it right.
You have said, Kelly, I know in the past, I forget the exact words, but you've been asking the agencies to find efficiencies and shrink the footprint of what they do. What departments do you think that are the fattest or maybe most in need of an overhaul?
Well, so I don't think an overhaul is the right word. I think the bigger your agency, the more spoilage that happens. That's just the nature of, you know, I mean, by the way, that's the same. I mean, it's not just a government thing. I think government's uniquely, you know, uniquely capable of doing it. But you can talk to any business that has grown significantly. They have growing pains.
Like, right.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense to ask. I just use the Department of Labor as an example. You know, Zach Greenberg's our labor commissioner, and they've got a really small team over there, but they have reduced their backlog and created efficiencies on their own. They're doing a really, really good job over there. But, I mean, asking them to make a 10% cut doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's a small agency. They're going to give me one employee that they can't afford to lose. They're accomplishing what they need. But I also think just over the inherent, I mean, technology, systems, IT, various different things. Like, as you continue to grow and things get better, we still have systemic structural issues. So I give you a perfect example that doesn't affect the legislature, doesn't affect anybody. We require like 7 copies, paper copies of a grant application at the Industrial Commission. Well, Karen Tyler, who's the executive director of the Industrial Commission, brought us we don't need legislative change. She's like, we don't want this specified that you get them in 7 paper copies. Because nobody uses paper copies anymore.
Yep.
So just going through those things and saying, and if you have 7 paper copies, you have to have somebody take in those 7 paper copies, get them to the 7 people who are supposed to get them, when that could really be one email, like one email. So I think there's a lot of places that efficiencies exist. But also, right, like everybody likes to pick on Health and Human Services, but 2/3 of their budget is federally mandated, right? Right. It's a $6 billion budget. $2 billion is North Dakota. $4 billion is federal pass-through dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of their inefficiencies aren't even created by the people who work in North Dakota. They're created by federal policy, which I got to give a lot of credit to Dr. Oz and Secretary Kennedy. They're working on making that more dynamic, and we should take advantage of that.
Yeah. We're told, I just had Michael Howe on a little bit earlier today, Secretary of State, and he said that he's being told that on Thursday, the people that are pushing for the voter initiative, the measure about free school lunch for everybody, regardless of income level in North Dakota, that they're going to deliver all their petitions. They got to sort through that. They need 31,000. They think they got 50. To me, Kelly, I shake my head at this because I feel like we've solved this problem already. And I don't know that I've asked you about this particular topic on this program before. How do you see this? I get it. If it goes to the voters, they're going to decide, and you're kind of like the rest of us, just watch and see what happens. But it feels like we've taken care of this because every kid who's hungry, who's at the right income level, gets this benefit already. What am I missing?
I'm not sure you're missing a lot, other than you're missing it has no business being in the Constitution. And when you do, constitutionally mandated spending is a really dangerous thing, because then, like, we have $111 oil right now, Steve. I've been in the oil business my entire life. You have 6 months of $111 oil. There's almost a guarantee that you're going to have the pendulum swing the other way at some point in time, and it usually stays down longer than it stays up. But when you do constitutionally mandated spending, you say that money comes out before – that money's off the table. It's spent no matter what the economic scenario is for anything else. $50 oil, $3 soybeans, it doesn't matter. That money comes out of – constitutionally, that money gets spent with no haircut under any circumstances, no matter what the economic scenario is. But I've gone, I mean, I will just tell you, I've been everywhere on the school lunch thing because I don't know. I mean, you can pass anti-shaming laws. And one of the things we've never, like, we've never spent a lot of time trying to figure out is what is the local bad debt for school lunches? Because that's taxpayer money, even if it's not state budget money. And how many human hours of educators do we have in this really inefficient system to collect this money that doesn't get collected?
Yeah, no, it's a good,
there's a lot of resource allocation there. But I also, there were opportunities to do this differently, and that obviously didn't happen.
So do you ever come out on something like this and say, you know, hey, look, people,
I've been really clear. I mean, if they would have passed the school lunch bill and statute, I would have signed it. I think the polling tells you North Dakotans want it, all of that. But I've been 100% clear. I don't think it has any place in the Constitution. And that's what frustrates me kind of about the whole thing.
Well, what frustrates me is it's out-of-state money coming in. They're well-organized. I have a nice website. They have a PR team. I mean, this is not organic.
I disagree with you. I think it's very North Dakota-driven and very organic.
You do?
I do.
Okay. I've been told the funding for this is not from North Dakota, but if you know something different, then you know something different.
I don't know if the funding is from North Dakota, but I know the support is from North Dakota.
Oh, sure.
It's been an issue for,
Okay. We got a couple guys.
That's a real concern, right? Because this isn't the next, this isn't the last time they're going to try and do constitutionally mandated spending. Ask California.
Oh, I'm sure we've only begun to have the fun here. Let's take a couple of calls here quick. Jeff in Fargo. Jeff, your question for Governor Armstrong.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I was wondering on the statements that the president said recently for child care and Medicaid and Medicare, he's saying the state should pay it and raise taxes in the state so the federal government can pay more for military. How do you feel about that?
I think this is one of those fundamental problems with Medicaid expansion and having a country that's $39 trillion in debt. I've had two different roles in this, Jeff. I was in the state legislature and I voted against Medicaid expansion. And now I'm the governor and it's almost impossible to get rid of it once it exists. There's just far too many people that rely on it for their health care. I think that is an unrealistic goal, but unfortunately, I think as this continues to move through, regardless if it's President Trump or whoever the next president is, eventually this health care, the cost of health care is going to come home. And I think all states over the course of time are going to be asked to pay more and more of this. And I think that's a real problem.
All right. Next up, Dana from Bismarck. Dana, good morning. What's your question for Governor Armstrong?
Yeah, good morning, Steve and Kelly. Kelly, why doesn't, instead of building this pipeline to ship the natural gas to the east side of the state, I would assume some of it's for these AI centers, why don't they set up a plant to make fertilizer for our farmers that we can bring the price down and make it affordable for them to keep living?
Well, three things there. One, it's not an either or. You could build a fertilizer plant in Williston tomorrow and still build the gas plant. Like that thing, that those two things can happen. We have a lot of gas. This allows for, it's not gas for AI centers. It's gas to, one, get it out of the Bakken where it's stranded, which curtails its associated gas, so it curtails oil production. Two, it allows for every community along that line to do any kind of value-added ag they want or any kind of economic development, because the two things you need before you talk about workforce and power are workforce and housing is you need power and water, and this would allow that to happen. And two, the we on the fertilizer plant is the question. We've had three different fertilizer plants that got 75% of the way there since I've been involved in North Dakota in 2012. And I don't think any of them have got 75.1% of the way there. They're multi-billion-dollar capital investments, and there was one in Grand Forks, there was one in Spiritwood, there was one being talked about between Williston and Minot, and they just never get home. And I think it's an access to capital and raising money in the private sector. I mean, the state's not going to build a fertilizer plant.
Well, probably they shouldn't.
I'm not big into state-run businesses, yeah. One, I don't think we do it particularly well. I mean, I'll take the bank and the mill, but I'm not sure we want to expand that footprint. But there are conversations going on. And this isn't just a North Dakota problem. Most of these are offshore and out of the United States.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it.
Governor, we appreciate the time. As always, good stuff. Thank you for taking the questions and for giving us a window into what you're thinking on a lot of these things. We appreciate it, sir.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Governor Kelly Armstrong here on the Steve Holstrom Show, back after this. About that time where I start thinking about what am I going to have for lunch today? Well, I don't know if I'm going to be driving by a PetroServe USA, but if I would be, no doubt where I'd be finding my lunch today, some great lunch specials. In Valley City today, they've got the Chicken Alfredo, Spicy Sausage Mac and Cheese in Harwood, West Main Avenue, Meatloaf or Beefy Noodles, Chicken Fettuccine at 12th Avenue, Wahpeton and 205 NP Avenue both have the Beefy Noodles today, Castleton Chicken and Gravy, Glendon has the Meatball Subs, Salisbury Steak at the 45th Street store, and in Ada, Lasagna. Oh, lasagna is so good. I could eat lasagna. I don't know, three meals a day, but two for sure. Wash it down with a Diet Coke and have a little Snicker bar to finish that off. Might have to hit the gym later, but that's a darn good lunch right there. And you can get all of that over at PetroServe USA, helping America feel better. I think you covered all the major food groups there. Spicy meat, noodles, Diet Coke, and dessert, chocolate. There you go. I think we've covered it all. Okay, some cleanup notes here, some things I want to make sure that we got to before the day is over. Dave Hughes is back in the game. He is running for Minnesota's 7th Congressional District and sent us a note over the weekend. I didn't see it until last night. And so Michelle Fischbach, the current incumbent, and she will have an opponent in Heather Keeler. On the Democrat side, I don't know that anybody's running against Heather, the state representative who now hopes to be the 7th District's congresswoman. Going to be an uphill slog for her. She's very, very blue, and she lives in a very, very red district. So not sure that it's a doable thing for her. I think whoever comes out of the Republican pool most likely gets that win there. It'll be hard to beat Michelle being the incumbent, but I applaud Dave. He's a veteran, and he's a good patriot and a regular friend of this program. So we'll have Dave on here one of these days and talk about that. But I just wanted you to know that because I know a lot of you know Dave and have a ton of respect for him. I also wanted to touch on this one. Alpha News, thank goodness for them, by the way, is reporting that applicants for Minnesota's new paid leave program are having troubles with the new processing system. Imagine that. Something the Minnesota state government put together might not be working very well, unless you're trying to get money from overseas, and then apparently the system works really great. Delays for some people are stretching well beyond 3 weeks, and in some cases going months, and are now affecting their ability to pay bills. One worker who contacted Alpha News said they had been on medical leave through their work since March 18th, but they're still waiting for the state to process an application that was submitted more than a month ago. They might have to slow down the traffic in order not to go bankrupt on that system. I'm not exactly sure there. Here's an interesting one coming out of Clay County today. Valley News Live reports that Clay County commissioners are weighing a new local ordinance that would set limits on the types of firearms that hunters can use during deer season. The county board is going to talk this over here. The proposal would divide the county into two firearm zones using Highway 9 as the boundary. If you're west of Highway 9, you're restricted to using shotguns with slugs, muzzle loaders, and handguns. East of the highway, you can use everything, including rifles. Apparently, this is a public safety, deer population management, landowner protection issue. As well, interesting story there. I thought that was interesting. I see that Paul Moore is back in the running for Fargo School Board. He was kind of one of the conservative gang that did not get elected when there was a number of them that did most recently in the school board elections. He's going to give it another go here. Five of the current members, so there's five seats open because there are five terms that expire this year. Now, most of the incumbents are running to get their seat back. Melissa Berkland, Katie Christensen Manier, Greg Clark, and Robin Nelson. Their terms are up. So is Naim Alday, but she's not running again. She told the forum that she is not running again. Nikki Gullickson, her term is not expiring, but she's running for a seat on the Fargo City Commission and says that she can do both jobs if she gets hired for a city commission. So I think Paul Moore is the candidate that you would say if you're looking for the conservative in that group. That's the one I know about anyway. So I thought that was notable as well. We've had a few emails and text messages that have come in today, and I want to try to hit on a couple of these. Steve, let's see here. What do we have here? I hope you're right about people returning to traditional ways of civility, but I don't see it. You can't go anywhere without hearing bad language. One trip through Walmart, you'll see people walking around that show they don't care what anyone thinks. And our president doesn't help to prove your case either. Well, there's a lot there. I'm not saying that it's going to be a tidal wave and you're going to see it overnight. And I get what you're saying. President uses looser language than most presidents do. So I understand. I'm just saying I sense that there's a shift going on. I don't know how pronounced it's going to be, but I think things feel a little different. A little. And I'll take it. All right, that'll do it for the show today. Stay tuned for the What's On Your Mind program coming up next. Be back here tomorrow with a whole slate of interesting things to talk about, things to tell you about. We'll all be watching that 7 o'clock deadline tonight, see what happens. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show as well. Have a good day, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.